It's now 7:45. This is Morning Edition on NHPR. Josh Rogers joins us now for this week's installment on New Hampshire's political front. Morning, Josh.
Morning, Rick.
Josh, the state budget, the version crafted by House budget writers, is heading for a floor vote this week. Now, House Speaker Sean Jasper has indicated that he's ready to lock lawmakers in to get the job done. Is that going to happen?
It probably won't take locking the doors to the chamber, but getting this budget to the floor wasn't so easy, so who knows. The plan that's heading there, which totals about $11.2 billion, or $300-plus million less than the proposal Governor Hassan put forward, does meet a big test for many in the GOP, and that it doesn't increase taxes and strips out the governor's revenue ideas, a cigarette tax increase, Keno, auto registration fees. Whether that's enough to galvanize conservatives isn't entirely clear. My sense is the votes will be there for it to pass. Democrats, meanwhile, hate this plan. They hate that it cuts spending in some social programs. And by cut, I do mean actual reductions below current spending in some individual programs. They also don't like that it shaves money from state school aid, that it flat funds the university system, and that it would undo Medicaid expansion. And, you know, I could go on.
Yeah, so it sounds like for this to pass, this budget will need votes from a lot of people who did vote for Bill O'Brien to lead the House instead of Speaker Jasper.
Yes, and whether all those folks are up for that, merits of the policy aside, it isn't clear. After House Finance voted through this plan last week, it was a party line vote. Several members of the committee, Republicans and Democrats, said it was a real possibility that this budget ends up stalling on the floor. Not sure I buy that. The fact that the conservative group Americans for Prosperity came out and supported the proposal late last week probably doesn't hurt for some in the GOP. But if you are a staunch conservative interested in shrinking government, your logic may be let's try to vote this down because it does increase overall spending and hope to win a few more concessions and maybe get those passed. And then that would be the House position and the starting point for whatever deal or non-deal ends up emerging in negotiations with the Senate late this spring. But that's a long ways off.
Okay, you mentioned the Senate. Traditionally, the Senate waits until after crossover day, which would be Thursday, to get going on the budget. But that may not be the case this year.
Well, Republican leaders in the Senate made it clear they'll not be using the House budget, assuming this budget does pass, as their starting point. The Senate does have the advantage of fresher revenue numbers during its budget process. And so it's not uncommon for the Senate budget to differ greatly. But there are indications that the senators have been working unofficially on a budget proposal for some time.
Now, you've got Speaker Jasper talking about locking members in Representative Hall, the forced progress on the budget, and the House is now right up on its deadline for getting this done. What if it fails?
Well, according to people close to Speaker Jasper, failure isn't really an option. They don't want that or anything else to remind people of the divide in the House GOP caucus. And, you know, Speaker doesn't want a budget to fail. And some of the things top House budget writers did do to get this plan to where it is now, like proposing a higher gas tax, which, of course, failed, or like tapping a renewable energy fund for $51 million after many top Republicans had said raiding dedicated funds wasn't going to happen this year. It does show a desire to get something over to the Senate, and also the challenges of making these numbers add up. You know, but it is understood that even if it gets there, the Senate isn't likely to pay much heed to the policy recommendations inside of it.
Now, the budget has dominated recent headlines out of the State House, but what other bills are you watching right now?
Well, one thing I've been keeping an eye on are bills that are likely to pass both Republican-led houses that the governor doesn't want to see on her desk. The most high-profile are cuts to business taxes, the business enterprise and business profits tax. They cleared the Senate recently on a party-line vote. Governor Hassan's long been critical of that idea. She said it would starve the state of revenue. But politically, vetoing tax cuts does always come with a potential cost. It will be an election year, and she's somebody with ambition. But another bill I'm watching that passed the Senate without all that much attention last week aims to tighten residency requirements for voting. Specifically, the bill would require voters to have been a resident of the state 30 days before casting ballots. New Hampshire, of course, has same-day registration. And some Republicans say that combined with our language and historical interpretation of defining the concept of domicile has allowed people to vote here who really have no intention of remaining here much after the election. They want to change that. This bill is all but certain to make it to Governor Hassan, and while she hasn't said so yet, it's hard to see her not vetoing it. A few things in concrete get so partisan as votes about fights over access to voting. And while comparable requirements for domicile are in the books in other states and not simply GOP-dominated ones, The fight over this is probably going to get louder as the bill moves on to the House.
All right. Thanks, Josh.
You're welcome, Ray.
There's Josh Rogers, NHPR's senior political reporter, joining Morning Edition often to talk politics. You can follow Josh on Twitter, by the way, at Josh Rogers NHPR. And you'll find more on the political front at NHPR.org.